I see the responsibility being laid on us as a ministry to disciple as many people as possible in the millions and in the billions. Don't mind the number now. When our full work officially starts, you see all our brothers and our sisters. Let me talk like, you know, we also read Zimbabwe, our brothers and our sisters. So yeah, so and it puts an importance on my heart that what we are doing, we are not playing games. And I'll explain to you why. You see, the word of God is so important because Jesus was saying something. I know we read it during the grand finale for the morning session, but I know some of you didn't really pick it out. And I'll say it again. Jesus said something. He says, in the day, no man stumbleth. So when it's daytime, nobody stumbles. Like, for example, now we have light here. So nobody, the likelihood of somebody falling is based on their negligence, right? But he said, when it is dark, he said, men stumble. And he did not say, not because of the darkness. He said, because there is no light in them. That's profound. He puts a location for where the light should be. He said that it's not that the light, there's light around them. He said that there is no light in them. And then David, King David, now says something in Psalm 109 from verse 105. He says something so crucial and yet so important. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you know what this means? Oh, hallelujah. Do you know what this means? This means that first and foremost, in the midst of darkness, if I have the word, I cannot stumble. It's a thing to know because the Bible actually talks about times like this. In Isaiah chapter 60, he says, darkness will cover the world and gross darkness the people. So a time will come where there will be gross darkness. There will be so much darkness in the world, so much so that people will be looking for solutions. But he says that the true and only solution is that the word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. And do you know what happens when someone does not have the word? What happens to them is that first and foremost, they begin to make wrong choices. So you stumble, you fall. You make wrong choices in life. Some of those choices can even lead to up to the destruction of that person. You can lose your family members. Just why? Because you don't have the word. In times of darkness, in times of gloominess, in times when people don't know what to do, the answer is the word. Hence, God will say in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he says, my people, he didn't even say the people outside, said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not the absence of it. They are destroyed because they lack knowledge. And so he puts such a weight upon us that the only way to help God's people is to bring God's word to them and unveil God's word to them in such a way that they can stand perfect before the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I just received the verse. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with what? The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hold on. Now, he's talking to the church in Colossae. And these people had been born again. And Paul saw what was happening in their midst. And he was so happy that these guys are now part of the flock. Paul says something. He says that since the day we heard your salvation, since the day we heard that of your spread in the city of Colossae, he says this. He says, we do not cease to pray for you. Now listen, he doesn't say we do not cease to pray for you for your prosperity. He says not cease to pray for you for you to have children, to be married. Look at what is more important to them. He says, and we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled. Listen, learn not to receive the word in half measure. Says that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now look at verse 10. I think that's what the Holy Spirit is taking me to. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, say after me, I walk worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing. And I am fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That is why God will send to you men. Who are the men God will send to you? The Bible says he gave gifts unto men, and he gave unto them apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and teachers. The work is for the perfecting of the saints. It is to help everyone. It is to help everyone who has come into the body to come into a point of perfection whereby they no longer stumble in darkness. Say after me, I don't stumble in darkness. The light of God is at work in me. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody shout glory. And today, in continuation of our faith series, we're looking at an important subject, which is called faith is substance. Say after me, faith is substance. Say after me, faith is substance. Faith is substance. You know, when people hear about faith, they relegate it and say, okay, it's not really so important. Why should we teach about faith? Is it really that important? It is very, very important. You see, God doesn't just want you just to be saved and be there. God wants to partner with you for greater things for the gospel. Are you hearing me? God does not just want to save you, leave you like that. He wants to partner with you for greater things for the gospel. So when you read things like Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then he gives a description of the earth. Says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Bible now says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And when that happened, God said, let there be light. You can read that and just say, okay, so God created light out of the dark situation. That is great. But the Bible says something that is so important. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. He says, now therefore, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of unseen realities, the evidence of things not seen. He now says, by this faith, the elders obtained a good report. Then he now begins to explain what happened in Genesis. He says, through faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So he's trying to say that the things we see were not made of physical constructions. But what am I saying? If God desires that you should learn about faith, it means he wants you to join in the creation process. Glory. Hallelujah. So God sees you as a valuable member. Say after me, I'm a valuable member. Yeah, God sees you as a valuable member in his body. But there's something you might have missed when reading that. Go back to verse 1. Because sometimes when reading, we miss one of a few things. It says, now faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance. It is what? It is substance. It is substance. It is substance. Now, when you ask, Pastor, what is substance? Because sometimes when you say it is a substance, somebody might be like, okay, how do we describe substance? Have you ever seen those words? You know what they are, but it's hard for you to describe what they are. Yeah. So what is substance? Let's define that. Like Dr. Miles Morrow said, when things are not defined, abuse is inevitable. So let's define what substance is as we begin to make progress in today's service. Listen, open your heart. You're about to be blown away. So what is a substance? Number one, it is a material from which something is made. So it is a material from which something is made. Now, you can also put a substance is a material that has discrete existence. A substance is a material that has discrete existence. What was the first one I said? What is a substance? Have you ever been in those kind of classes where they said, okay, do two times one, two times two, four, two times three, six. Then I get to nine times. I don't know why it was always hard for me. Then you now add bars. 9 times 1, 9, 9 times 2, 9 times 3, 9 times 4. So there's so the teacher's always like that person at the back should say what. So what did I call substance? Number one is what? Number two. So what that means is that if faith is substance, it means that it exists, right? It means it exists, right? So what that means is, you can either have it or not have it. Let me explain better. Now, assume this is a substance. Do I have the tablets with me? Hold. Is the tablet with me now? So I can tell if I have it or I don't what? Have it. So it's possible to know if you have faith or you don't have faith, because the description is there. He says faith is substance. So much that the Bible sees faith even as a law. Okay, let me show you. Romans chapter 3 from verse 27. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Hold on. Did he just call faith a law? He said, by the law of faith. That means faith is a law. Oh, dear God. The same way you have the law of gravity. You might not see it, but it's in existence. And if a man decides that he's going to jump down from 10-story building down to the ground and say, I don't believe in the law of gravity, it does not matter. You will jump and you will die. You will die and you will break your leg. In fact, you will die the death that even the people that are looking at you will be like, what manner of a careless death is this? Because he couldn't care less, ba? Calm down. Calm down. So, even if you say, okay, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Listen, can I even be sincere? Even in your own constitution, when you go before a judge, the judge says that ignorance is not even a reason to break the law. Do you know that? I have a question for you. When you say a law has been passed, like the student loans law that has been passed, can I ask you a question? Which of you saw the law flying about that says, I have been passed? No, just be sincere. You are sitting down and they said, okay, this law has been signed into place. Then you now saw a document flying in the sky. The law has been passed. The fact that you heard that it has been signed and put into law is enough fact to know that it is there, correct? So the law of faith, even though not physical, it exists. It is what I call substance. Say after me, faith is substance. Faith is substance. Hallelujah. So I said that even though it's not physical, it exists, right? Now the question is, if I'm reading that faith is the law, and it's saying, okay, this faith that we say is the substance is the law, and I'm reading it. So how do I know that this thing that is a law is actually true? Because someone might tell me, Pastor, but the law of gravity can be proven through physics. Pastor, but there are other things. The atom might not be visible, but we can see it through the lens of many instruments we have today. But Pastor, there's no instrument that can measure faith. How can you tell me something so invisible is real? I'll tell you why. Number one, remember what we read in Hebrews 11 from verse 3? He said, the things which are seen were not made of the things which do what? Appear. One of the biggest problems that people will have in their life is that they will be stuck by what they see. Listen, the man who lives by what he sees will not go far. Now, you see this thing I said now. Someone say, oh no, Pastor, I'm an intellectual. All those things they're talking about is hogwash. It's nonsense. There was a wealthy TV presenter. He said on his journey to finding God, said he was sleeping one day and he woke up and he saw scratch marks on his body and he was bleeding on his bed. It dawned on him that the realm that he says is a lie is very true, because his house, his security was locked, everything was okay. No animal came through, but he was scratched. Hallelujah. So how do you know? How do you really know that this faith thing exists? I'll tell you, and I want to read something out to you. I've been trying to get out of my notes. I want to read out to you. Now, write this. It says, there must be a knowing of conviction. I'll take it as slowly as possible. A conviction of revelation from the spirit realm to your spirit. Our eyes are open in the name of Jesus. It says there must be a knowing or conviction of revelation from the realm. Sorry. There must be a knowing or a conviction of revelation from the spirit realm to your spirit. That even if I can't see this thing or touch this thing, that even if I can't see this thing or touch this thing, based on that knowing or conviction that I've received, this thing is there. I'll read that again for you, because if you miss anything, don't miss this. It says, there must be a knowing or conviction of revelation from the spirit realm to your spirit, that even if I can't see this thing or touch this thing, based on that knowing or conviction that I've received, this thing is there. I'll read it one more time. It said, there must be a knowing or conviction of revelation from the spirit realm to your spirit, that even if I can't see this thing or touch this thing, based on that knowing or conviction that I've received, this thing is there. So what it means is that there is something to hold on to that gives you a proof that it is there. Do you understand? So in the same way, as an example, it might not give you a full scope. In the same way, a land was purchased and you were given a sea of O of that particular land. You are given a survey, everything you needed for that land. If somebody comes tomorrow without his own document and says, this land is my own, the first thing you pull out is your document to say, I have purchased this land. Hello? Just as a proof that I have purchased this land. It is a proof that even though maybe you've not gone to that land before, you have your papers that this land belongs to you. You are even willing to fight in court that this land belongs to you, because you have something that you can work with. In the spirit realm, what the spirit does is that the spirit gives your own spirit a knowing, a revelation, in such a way that it gives your physical mind boldness about it. Are you there? And the spirit realm can do this in many ways. Sometimes you can be sleeping. Maybe you've prayed and prayed lakabara tilimando rokopayadas in the night, and then you go to sleep after praying about it, and then in your dreams you begin to see it consistently. You become more aware of it. It can come in your dreams, it can come through visions. Other people can be like, oh my God, I've been seeing this thing about you consistently. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. So the spirit realm will give you something to work with. If you are with me to this point, can I see your hand? You're with me, right?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. So let's return back to Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Let me show you something. Let me explain this substance thing to you so that it makes a whole lot more sense. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, said by the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Don't just follow me. Verse 3, through faith you understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Verse 4. Said by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it, he being dead yet speaketh. Now, you might look at this and said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, you might be wondering, how does faith work here? But as you keep reading, you understand. Verse 5. Let's go. Verse 5. He says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It's still a bit hazy what he means there. But let's go to verse 6 now. I'll give a better explanation as we keep going. Verse 6. He now says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hold on. How many of you remember that we read something in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 10? It said that we might walk before the Lord unto what? All pleasing. And he's now saying that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I have a question for you. Is faith important or is not important? He says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Now let's go to verse 7. Go to verse 7 now. Can you read that 1, 2, 3, go? It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. See, he was moved with fear. So what was the substance that Noah received here? It was fear. See, you see, God had told him that the world was going to be destroyed by a flood. And he said, the world is going to be destroyed. And he says, you should build an ark and put different kinds of animals into the ark. Now, the fact that this came to him is a sign that, number one, God will not move you to do anything except by faith. This thing trickles down into even, what is this thing? Even into the leadings of God. How many of you are in a place? You are somewhere, and then while you were just there, it felt like somebody inside of you began to say, leave this place now. You are about to enter trouble. Leave this place now. You are about to enter trouble. Leave this place now. You are about to enter trouble. Some people, coconut head, I no go agree. Lord God, nobody fit do me anything. Then police now comes and packs everybody there. They now ask you, said, maybe your people now come. They ask you, what are you doing there? You say, me, I don't know. But something was telling me I should go that time. I did not listen. Do you know what was happening? Substance was coming from the spirit. The spirit realm had picked something. That something is off. Something is wrong. We need to save this young man. Young man, start going. Start moving. The fact he did not lay hand on that substance, even if he could not see the person talking, and if the people asked him, if he responded, people asked him, why are you going? He might be like, I just want to go. I'm not really sure. He can't put his hand on it to say that, okay, this is what is happening. This is how this is happening. This is the same thing that happens to many people. Many times, God is trying to exempt you, save you from something. But the substance he's giving you is in the unseen realm. It is not seen. You cannot see it. But because you cannot see it, you just say, I will not respond to it. Many times, in not responding to it, you can put yourself inside graver danger. Sometimes, in the spirit realm, Satan can form his own substance. Remember that Bible verse that says every weapon fashioned against you. So he can form his own substance. It's a weapon. It's been fashioned. It has been formed. It has become substance. And now they are planning so that you will fall inside. God picks and he says, my son, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Something is going wrong. Something's about to go wrong. Begin to pray. But you say, no, Lord, this sleep. I must sleep this sleep. And you wake up in the morning and then just realize that your entire family members are sick. Listen, learn to respond to the invisible realm. Learn it. As a Christian, sometimes it might not be easy because sometimes people can look at you as crazy. Do you know what it means? Maybe let me help you understand. Because when we say Noah built an ark, in your mind, you are thinking that Noah woke up one day. My son built me an ark. And Noah stopped. Children, bring wood. Okay, we are done now. Lord, send the rain. We are going. Do you know that it took Noah 120 years to build the ark? Huh? 120 years to build that ark. I have a question to ask you. Imagine if you are the other people and didn't hear that thing. And then you see a young man. There's no river, oh, there's no rain. He's chopping wood. Carry the wood. You put. They'll be hitting the wood. For 120 years, somebody is doing work. He will say that his village people, they have succeeded. Finally, I said, we've always known this Noah. He does not want to be a bad boy. But now, all this thing, they have come upon him. He's now a useless man. Unknown to them, he had seen something. Listen, faith is substance. People may not see it. But listen, if God's word comes to you, accept it, receive it, run with it, even if you cannot see it. And sometimes when God's word comes, we are very hesitant to even respond. How many of you remembers Peter? Jesus was walking on water and was going, and they thought they saw a ghost. And they were afraid, and Jesus said, oh no, don't be afraid, it's me. I'm the one, no, don't be afraid. Now, all the other guys were in the boat. Peter now says to Jesus, he said, if it is you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. Then Peter begins to walk on water. In the physical realm, what you see is a young man walking on water. You're like, wow, that's wonderful. But if you x-ray it, or the Lord opens your eyes to see in the realm of the spirit, what Peter was walking on was not just water. He was walking on the words of Jesus. So what Jesus gave Peter was substance. That substance that he can be able to walk on water. That word, come, was the substance. Now, I have a question. Can you see the word? If I say come, did you see anything? No. But the fact that he went into the spirit realm and created a platform for Peter to walk, it means that in the spirit realm, substance is real. It may not appear in the physical world, but it is real. Listen, if you live based on the reality of what you can see, you become subject to somebody else's substance. Don't worry, you know what? Let me not go there. We have somewhere we are going to in this sermon. Let me not go there. Praise God. So now, somebody might be wondering, says, oh, pastor, you've mentioned substance. You've mentioned faith is the law. So how do I get this substance? Now, how do I get faith? What is this faith? What is this substance? How do I get it? So we've explained that faith is substance, faith is the law. So, since I can't physically touch it, or I can't see it, how do I now get something I can't see, I can't touch, I can't physically interact with? I'll show you. How do you have faith, or how do you get faith? Number one, the opinion of God must become real to your spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The opinion of God must become real to your spirit. You know, many people are always crying. They say, oh, God. You know, sometimes, Holy Spirit, thank you. Now, sometimes some people are like, oh, I was not sure that I had faith. And then all of a sudden, it worked. Then there was one day, I was so sure. In fact, I opened my Bible. I saw it. I said, the Bible says, God shall provide all my needs according to riches in glory. I saw it. I believed it. I accepted it. And as I believed and accepted it, I began to walk with it. I began to walk with it. I walked with it. And it did not work for me. Pastor, why? I'll tell you the reason why. Number one, the reason why is because when God speaks, He speaks in His realm. You need to understand. When God speaks, the word He speaks is in His realm. Do you know what God wants you to do with those words? He wants you to bring those words that are in His realm to your reality. He wants you to bring the words that are in His realm to your reality. God doesn't just want you. That's the reason why God wants to teach you faith. He knows that the invisible things dictate the visible things. The man who has learned, who has mastered the art of pulling things from the spirit into the physical realm will be the man who will control his physical surroundings, no matter how contrary the situation looks like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it is some subject of faith. Painfully enough, my generation is losing touch with it. When you begin to converse with somebody and talk with them, it feels as if they are almost more lost in natural senses and natural thoughts than the thoughts of the spirit. Are you with me? But we will raise a people. Not we will raise a people. We are raising a people. A people strong in faith. A people that will not be moved by circumstances. A people who will cause the things that God has said in the spirit to find full expression in the now. Hallelujah. Tell me, that's my reality. Yes, that's my reality. That's my reality. Hallelujah. So, how do you get the opinion of God? Two simple things. And we begin to get ready to round up. How do we get the opinion of God? How do we get the opinion of God? Okay. How do we get the opinion of God? Number one, by the written word. Number one, the written word. So that means you must be conversant with your Bible. Can I tell you something? Something that maybe you may have never thought about, or that may have never passed or crossed your mind. And it is this for a fact. A man who is growing spiritually will find it easier to walk in faith. You cannot not have a spiritual life and claim that you are walking in faith. You lie. And the second point I'll give on this, what how to get the opinion of God, will explain to you why. Number one is the written word. What has God said? Can I tell the truth? Faith is available where the will of God is found. So what has God's word said? What is God's word saying about you? What has God's word said? Or what is God's word saying currently about you? Now, secondly, how do you get the opinion of God? This part, I want you to pay attention. I call it the living word. It is the living word. It takes many forms and shapes, but this would make sense. It's the living word. Do you know what the living word is? The living word is when the Holy Spirit begins to now walk on the written word. When the Holy Spirit begins to walk on the written word in such a way that it feels as though the word is no longer just letters, it begins to speak to you. Desire this thing I'm about to say. Have you ever had an experience? I'm saying desire it in case you never had it before. Have you ever had this experience where you are reading the word, the Bible? You are reading something you have read before, but for some strange reason, it felt like the words literally jumped out of the pages and jumped at you. Hey, if you've not had that experience, believe the Lord to have it. Why is that reason? Because the Bible says, the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit giveth life. What comes out as you read the word, empowered by the Spirit, is that He begins to minister the life of that word into you. And one of the ways those things happens is in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? Okay. Hold on now. Look at verse 7 now. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Hold on. He says, when you pray, he says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, who is going to give you this peace? Is the Holy Spirit. So what happens is that as I begin to pray about a matter, I begin to look at the word of God. In prayer and the word and in word study, you are looking at a matter. You are studying the Bible. You are reading the word. You are looking at it. You're like, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me here? Holy Spirit, makaradiada. You are studying. You are praying. You are studying. All of a sudden, you stumble on a scripture. And it's like I see the scripture meet you. Or alternatively, for people who you've had this experience, I have it a lot frequently. When you are praying, Spirit, makatara paketo repekete leketaya, it feels like scriptures I've read in my reservoir begins to come back. I remember doing refresh. I was praying one of the nights. I was praying makatara baba. I literally heard someone speaking to my ear. He says, "And you have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power be of God." I said, "Wait, I have a treasure. Wait a minute. Hold on. I have this treasure in earthen vessel." Hold on. That means people who look down on me don't know who I am. I have this treasure. There's a treasure inside of me. See, after me, there's a treasure inside of me. You may not know how much this thing hits me when I was praying. And that's the thing. When we're communicating what is our revelation to you, when it comes, you might be like, it's not that serious. It's serious. Oh, Holy Spirit. It says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. Can I be sincere with you? When you have prayed and made a request known unto God, once that request in the spirit has taken form, the response from the spirit actually is peace. So what that means is that personally, as a Christian, if you cannot tell the state of your spirit at every point in time, you cannot know when a particular thing has been sorted. You're not a prayerful person. You don't pray. Then, on the day of trouble, oh God, do it for me. Maybe that thing, before you even said a word, God has already answered it. And your spirit is already at rest. Like, okay, this is not an issue. But you have not put yourself under more pressure. Hey God, oh God, God, please do it now, Lord. If you don't do it now, Lord, nobody will do it for me now. And God is saying, I've already answered you. Then sometimes, someone say, oh God, please do it for me, Lord, now. And your spirit is crying, I have not received substance. Please, I have not received substance. Help me, please. How do you know? It's because you have a vibrant walk with God. I said a vibrant walk with God. What happens to you is you're able to check the state of your spirit. Has the peace of God passed all understanding and filled me up? Once that happens, just know that you started creating substance. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Words. Okay. I'll give you two examples. One Bible, one mind. We close it there. How many of you remembers Abraham? Remember Abraham, right? The word of the Lord came to him while he was in his father's house. He said, leave your father's house. Go into the land and I will make you a father of many nations. I will bless you. And those that bless you will be blessed. Those that curse you will be cursed. Abraham believed, went on. At a point, after God had told him those words, Abraham was like, God, I have Ishmael. Let Ishmael live before your sight. And God was like, what is doing this guy? I thought I told him that the person I am looking at is your seed, not another woman. Hey, God. Your seed from Sarah, not from somebody else. At that point, It did not make sense to Abraham. He said, God, I have a child. Like, let this child be the one that would do the promise. A point now came. God said, okay, no problem. I will now take you from the point of just knowledge. I will take you to a point where you now understand what I'm saying. Said, Abraham, come outside. Abraham, look at the stars. Look at the skies. You know, you see Port Harcourt there? You will not understand what God did to Abraham because the skies are clouded at night. When I went to the north in Kogi, one day, you know, boys' room now, it's always hot. Boys, I said, I don't like this heat. I want to go and bathe. And I looked outside, there was nobody. I was like, God, this is going to be a nice time to just bathe. And that was December when the weather is normally very cold. So as you're bathing, you'll be seeing something like steam leaving your body. It's not steam, it's cold. So, so I take my bath. I was like, oh my God. Because I didn't have money to buy hot water. So I just had this feeling. I said, turn back and look. I turned back. I saw stars that, you know when it feels like your eyes want to pop out of your head? I was like, what am I seeing? Like, you know when stars are so joined together? You can't even differentiate one from the other one. And they fill the skies. I said, my God. My God. It not made sense to me. When God told Abraham, he said, count the stars. If you can count the stars, you can count the number of children that will come out from you. Then he said, okay, maybe Abraham is not getting it enough. Abraham, look at the ground. If you can count the sand that are on the ground, then you know how many your children will be. Abraham could not count. Abraham looked, he could not count. Abraham, at that point, the Bible says, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. At that point, I am telling you that if anybody came at night and met Abraham, I said, Abraham, the way you're acting like as if Sarah will give birth. She's going to give birth. You say, brother, what do you see? He says, stars. He says, count them. Can you count them? He says, what are you saying? He says, that's how my seed will be. Who told us how your seed will be? God told me. Okay. God told you. Okay, no problem. Well, let's leave him. In the morning, they came. God gave him a sign by night and by morning. In the morning, they came. They're like, Abraham, how will you really have children? He said, look at that servant sweeping. Can you count the dust? Can you count it? He said, no. He said, that's how my seed will be. Then the Bible now begins to explain. Romans chapter 4, I think from verse 17. Give me 17 or 16. 17 or verse 16. Paul will now begin to explain to you what happened to Abraham. Go to verse 17. Okay, let's go on with it. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. I want to be sure I'm not, because there's a part I need you to see. Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, let's continue. No issue. Let's continue. Verse 18. Said, who against hope? Okay, beautiful. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall what? Okay, so you cannot see what happened in Genesis 15, right? Now look at the next verse. Is it 19, sorry. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body. So that means what God told him so inundated Abraham in such a way that the deadness of his body was not something he was considered about. He looked at it, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, faith is such a powerful force that when it comes, and your spirit gives you witness that this thing has come, and you lay your hands on it. Listen, nobody can shake you. Now, says, and be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, 21. And being what? He was what? He was fully persuaded. That is what the substance will do to you. Yes, his body was dead. Sarah could not conceive.
But he said, no. God told me this is how my seed will be. God told me to be like the stars, like the sun. I believe it. I accept it. I was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hey. That's what the Spirit of God will do to you. He begins to bring the words out of the written word. It begins to hit you like a tornado. All of a sudden, it feels like, I have something. When it happens, and it feels like you are touching the substance, don't let go. Grab a hold of it. Now, we'll explain as we go, and that's confession. You will grab a hold of it and make it your own. You have now seen that it is existence in God's realm. I will take a hold of it. I will make it my own. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Hey. You know, I never knew what this meant until last year, January. Pastor came on crossover and said, I am moving to Abuja. What some of you don't know is that I found out that crossover night as well. So by 1st of January, I was thinking about my life. I said, God, the only person that's going to be resident pastor is me, Lord. Lord, I've been running for so long. Lord, what shall I do? You know when, and I was like, even if I did not say it, other people were like, oh, pastor, who follow you? Me, I'm like, I cannot go anywhere. This is my station. So I was there, and at some point, I said, no, the only answer to this is I'm going to pray. You know when you want to pray, but you don't know whether to pray, God, help me. God, I need strength. God, peace. God, you know when you don't know, all the words of prayer just jumps out from your head. I said, no, wala. Makadabarababa. Rikabababababa. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I think the first day I prayed like 3 hours. The only thing I received was, go and read the book of Isaiah. I said, no, wala now. I prayed again. I read it. Then on the second day, I got to verse 17. Don't worry, chapter 17. Like, I was that hungry for help because it's been a while since I've read 17 chapters in one day. Go to Isaiah 17 from verse 10. I'm about to round up. Isaiah 17 from verse 10. Isaiah 17 from verse 10. And I'll explain why it meant a lot to me. Because when I look at it, it says, because I have forgotten the God of thy salvation and has not been mindful of the rock of thy strength. I say, he's the rock of my strength. So he was already brooding, but he had not settled yet. Can I tell you where he settled? Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 from verse 1. I'll tell you where it settled for me forever. It says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. 20, verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusted in thee. No, I'm reading it now. To you, it looks normal. When I read it, the thing, it felt like somebody grabbed a hold of me. I said, this is what I've been looking for. Is this thing I've been looking for? That is what I've been looking for. That's what I've been looking for. When I got, I was already shouting it. I know maybe Sophie was around that season. I know she might have forgotten. But I was shouting it. He's keeping me in perfect peace. Hey, my mind is stayed on him. Then the Lord said, I'm not done. Go to verse 4. So Ahman was on. Then he said, trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It felt like somebody lit something inside of me. I didn't know where the word came from. I said, I cannot fail. This thing has been put in my heart. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. It cannot be small. Because the strength I'm working on is the one who has everlasting strength. My heart is trusted in him. And if I'm in him, he has everlasting strength. He will also give me strength that lasts forever. That's been the word that has been carrying me like this. To be sincere, when I look at work stress, this stress, that stress, at some point I'm distressed. And you get to that point and you're like, God, how far? And God reminds you, said, I showed you something, brother. Hold on to it. And I'm like, yes, it's my substance. And it's going, and I'm going to see every single part of that word come to reality. When that happens, that your heart is full of peace, that you know that that thing you've received is from God, then you've received substance. Hallelujah. 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 Can't rise up on our feet. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's summarize it. Are you ready? So how can I receive substance? I've already explained it, but I'll say one more time, just in case you want a more shortened version. Pray till you receive substance. Get the written word into yourself till you're fully persuaded. Get the opinion of God for you generally and specifically, then hold on to it. And lastly, you must take the will of God seriously. Say to me, Father, in the name of Jesus, you give me the strength. You give me the ability. You give me the strength. You give me the ability to walk in faith. My eyes are open. My mind is receptive to see all you have in store for me. In the name of Jesus. Can we shout glory? Glory!